Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 170 of The Bad Motivators. I am Eric Strahlers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Ms. Claire Stribling.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Raw like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip-hop rocks that shocks the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation.
Wow, that's...
Wow.
That's something, President Lincoln. I really love your dope rhymes.
Oy.
So yeah, Dallas and Claire, I feel like, you know, it's only been a week since we did our last podcast, but it seems like it's been longer than that. How's everybody doing?
Excellent, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. Fantastic, followed by great. Okay, so here's the deal. I was going to try to just gaslight everybody and pretend like Claire is on every week. And Luke Cruiser, I don't know what you're talking about. It'd be like, what's the thing? What's the name for it? Like the whole Shazam Kazam thing. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, maybe you don't. But anyway, our friend and yours, Mr. Luke Cruiser, couldn't be on the show. Very last second, has some stuff going on with his promising career as a professional podcaster. I'm just kidding, something else. But anyway, he had to bounce off. And luckily, we already had an excellent guest lined up on the call before he had to go. And that's our pal, Claire. Claire, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to dethrone Luke from this co-host spot. I look forward to my audition. You're all going to be very impressed. And sorry, buddy, you're not coming back there, Luke.
it's the Mandela effect, by the way. That's right. And so
there we go.
It's funny. Everybody, honestly, I'm betting people are listening to this show right now going, man, my money was on Dallas getting booted off first, not Cruiser.
My money, too.
But well, Claire, the Imperial Senate podcast, tell us about what you do and where we can find you. Let's do it right now before I forget.
All right. Well, as you have alluded to, I am a co-host of the Imperial Senate podcast. I am one third of that. And you can find me on Twitter at CStribs, and you can find that podcast I do at Imp Senate Pod. Basically, we just make really, really stupid jokes. A lot of inappropriate shenanigans go on. You know, we just have fun and not take Star Wars too seriously or ourselves. Also, if you are also in the camp of Gar Saxon being a handsome devil, you are in the right place. Hit me up on Twitter with all of your Gar Saxon photoshopped onto Arnold Schwarzenegger's body photoshops. I'm here for them. So. Please,
also,
you're
regular on my Patreon show.
Heck yeah, I am. I'm a Tarkin tangent connoisseur.
Yep.
And I have a lot of good beer in my fridge right now because of a Mr. Dallas Wood. So we got to record one of these days.
We're going to have to hit that up this weekend, I think.
Oh, darn. Make me do it if I have to. I'll drink beer and I'll talk to you.
Let's do it. By the way, speaking of Patreon, a lot of you turned up for the house party. So that was a good time. Claire came on. She's a patron supporter. So, I mean, like, I think it was such a big success. Everybody had such a good time that we're going to do that probably monthly if we can, if not every other month at the very least. So we'll announce those as they come along. It was, you know, we had some great people on there that we met at Celebration and some people we'd never met in person. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So appreciate everybody for participating.
That's killer, man. Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't be on. Sundays are a very weird day for me. Like, even though we're in shelter in place, blah, 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 it's work day for me and my kid.
Yeah.
We head into the church and do some business, watch a little Mandalorian on the big projector screen in between.
Oh, that was dope, man.
And good times, man. Good times. But, you know, the thing we normally do, we like to start out this show, or at least I'm supposed to have it close to the beginning, and then sometimes I forget, is this right here. Yeah. Ah, yeah. So, Claire, we always let the guests go first. And do you have a what that you would like to tell us about?
Well, considering I've got a car underwater and flooded and half of my income is gone. No, I have nothing. I bought a box of wine today. That's one thing that I got today.
You got a what? A box of wine.
I got a box of Pinot Noir, and it was a good time. Not that I drank it all, but I haven't even started it. But
You could fib and say it was from Alderaan. It's Alderaanian box of wine.
That's right. It's port in a storm in a box.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, you know, that's still something. I can't tell you the last time I bought any wine. It's been a long time, but my wife has been drinking a lot more of it lately. What with the being home and her job and all, it's like there's Amanda drinking her happy juice over the sink.
It's funny you say that because we had a Imperial Senate podcast Quiplash hangout the other day, which join our Discord because we do that from time to time and it's always hysterical. Somebody asked me, Bob asked me, he was a Claire, do you always drink when you get home from work? I'm like, since quarantine? Yes. Yes, I do. And since working in healthcare and COVID-19? Yes. Yes, I do. So I understand the happy juice vibes.
Yeah, it's been tough for her. I don't envy what she has to go through. And I wish it wasn't so hard on her. But you know what, though, man? We don't want to get into a big giant COVID-19 discussion, but I've been getting a paycheck this whole time, and so has my wife, and it's not, the household income is a little lower, but man, we are extremely fortunate, and we're very aware of it. So to the people who are out there who aren't as fortunate in that regard, man, our hearts go out to you. Anyway, let me rein it back in. I don't want to start getting all sad. Let me just tell you right now what I got this week. I got that lightsaber done for those people that I've been working on all this time. And now that isn't really a something that I got, except I did finally get the last part that I needed. That's been troublesome getting some of this stuff because of, you know, all the stuff that's going on. But I did, and it's easily the best lightsaber I've ever built. And of course, ooh, it would go without saying that every lightsaber I build is slightly better than the one before. So that's, you know, it's, but man, it's so cool. I'm really, really happy with it. And man, I told the people, I sent them a video of Stella demonstrating it. I said, we considered just leaving town so that we could keep this and I wouldn't have to give it to you. But the other thing I got is 100% on Jedi Fallen Order. So after the update on May 4th, man, I put my head down and just started the new journey and plowed through it on Jedi Master, and 100% of that thing, all the trophies. Good job, me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed, man.
That's it. That's what I got.
I want to say that I'm waiting for you to build like 5 or 7 or 10 more sabers so that I get Eric's version of the Hatari Hanzo Dooku saber. Like his masterpiece. And he has to give it to me so I can slay the Luke cruiser. No, just kidding.
Dude, this one I built is I'll tell you Kill what Bill makes reference. It, I'll Kill tell you Bill what reference. Makes it so cool.
Everybody doesn't get that.
Oh, I totally got it. What makes this thing so cool is the sound card in it, the controller card. It's tremendous. It does and the fact that it has a NeoPixel blade in it, which is just a strip of addressed pixels in the blade instead of being like a flashlight at the bottom of a tube. Oh, tremendous cool effects, man. It's really neat. Claire, I'll show it to you once we're done with the show.
Please, as somebody who only has like the most basic, boring stunt saber with no bells, whistles, sounds, and barely a light that works and sounds like a lamp when you click it on and off, I am so excited. One day when it's in the budget, Eric, you're making me a lightsaber.
Oh, I'd be happy to do it. Happy to do it. Well, what about you, Woodrow? What did you get this week, man? Because I know you came through.
I got my Elite Series probe droid showed up that we bought on the show.
Oh, good. I was starting to worry.
Dude, it is nice and heavy and beautiful. Also, not one probe droid, but two. Finally, my Black Series with the proper box that wasn't destroyed. My first one came in. The box was fucked. I sent it back, got my money back, went to Megalopolis, packed perfectly. No blemishes on the box. Beautiful. This one's coming out of the box, though. Even though the box is really dope. I don't know if you can see on the camera on the Skype, but God damn, that box is cool. But it's coming out because these heavy metal ones, what can happen to them? Yeah. Nothing.
That is a thing, man. The box, the packaging is brilliant on that. But yeah, my intent is to have it out of the box. But man, oh man, any other toy company out there, you could do well to take a lesson from the Disney Elite series on that, because yeah, it's something. It really is. And Hasbro, listen up. You would do well to think about the price point that we got that thing at for this.
$27.
Yeah, this thing that is a chunk of metal in stunning detail. So whenever Black Series figures slowly creep up to the mid $20 tier range, they better be fantastic. I mean, it's not like I'm going to quit buying them because my threats are empty, but seriously, come on.
But I also had the collection thinned out a little bit. I sold some shit this week.
What'd you get rid of?
So I got rid of a couple figures that I know in the 40th line. That I'm getting in the 40th line, like The Empire Strikes Back. So anything other than Lando, I sold three. And I also sold a couple to my buddy, Jesse. He bought like a Phasma that I didn't want anymore because I like the, you know, the damaged helmet one better than The one from TFA. I just, you know, his boys will enjoy it. They'll open it and enjoy it. You know, I've had it for a while now. It doesn't mean that I just like that one better. I just need to thin the collection down to like, you know, beautiful boxes and like the figures I really enjoy. Just because there's just no room to display it in this room. It's just jam packed. Ridiculous. So also I need money.
Well, I do understand that. Business is
slow. We sold our first car of the month. It's the 17th.
Hey, I might be in the market for a new car soon, Dale. Still waiting on that insurance claim to tell me what's up.
So tell us what happened with your automobile, Claire.
Yeah, tell us, because this is sad. And it was a beautiful car, too.
Don't say was. It's not dead, I don't think, yet. I drive a wonderfully reliable 2011 Toyota Camry. Runs like new, beautiful, magnificent machine. Gets me from point A to point B. So I live right by the river and at the bottom of the hill. So after 2 days in a row of rain, I get a knock on my door at 1 a.m. from my neighbor saying, "I noticed your car is out there. You gotta move it. It's flooding." And so in the middle of the night, I put on my rain boots and my raincoat and my umbrella, completely useless because I was drenched by the time I got back home. I trudged through water that was nearly up to my knees, and my car was very underwater. Thank God it started. The engine wasn't flooded or anything, but there was about 1.5 to 2 inches of standing water in the front seats. And so I parked it up a hill and drove it to the car detailer since, you know, everything was working. The electricity all seemed to be fine. The seats were moving forward and backward. My airbag was still functioning. And obviously the car was, you know, alive. So next day, dropped it off, hoping just we could, you know, we could shampoo, dry everything out. Life would be fine. But no, I have to replace most of the interior. The quote was scary and lots of digits in that number. So anyway, so I'm just waiting for I'm waiting to find out whether or not it's totaled. I don't think it will be.
Nah.
I don't, but no, it was bad. They pulled the body plugs and there was still a couple inches of water in the bottom after ripping out all the all the rest.
Wow. So. Oh, gross.
Oh, it was so bad. But it was funny, though. Like, I'm thinking about it. I put on my rain boots to walk outside, and then the water's up to my knees, so, like, they're completely filled with water. I'm like, why did I even bother? I, like, sat on my apartment steps, and when I got back after trudging through the flood alone, small female in the middle of the night, and dumped out the rain from the inside of my rain boots. I'm like, okay, well, this is the most depressing state I've ever been in, probably. I am soaking wet, super broke, and my car is dead. This is great. I'm glad that this happened this week.
Bummer.
Well, you know what? Let's see if we can't cheer you up. We'll talk about all this crazy Star Wars news we got going on. And boy, is there a ton. Is there really? No. But there is some stuff. Okay. First off, here's the deal. We talked about this briefly, but the second season of The Mandalorian, man, the casting news just keeps flying in. And, you know, we had heard that Katie Sackhoff was going to be back as Bo-Katan. And so I can't remember when the thing about Timothy Oliphant dropped. Do you know
that was a couple days ago? Katie's news dropped the day after we recorded last Monday.
Yeah.
And so I think we had the Timothy Oliphant stuff like 2 days ago, but also we had the what's her name? It's like escaping me. She's the wrestler.
Well, that's where I was headed next.
Oh, Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks.
And obviously just because of what she looks like and the fact that we're going to have Ahsoka in this, allegedly. I think
apparently Captain Rex.
Yeah, and Captain Rex. Everybody seems to think that she is going to be Sabine Wren. And I got to tell you, I am totally on board for that. Where are you guys at with that sort of thing?
I'm excited about that. I mean, I haven't watched modern wrestling in quite some time, but I know the physicality of that entertainment, sport entertainment. So if you're wanting Sabine to be more physical, that's a great choice. I think, like, also her face kind of looks like Sabine a little bit. You can see if you imagine purple hair on her, like short cut and, you know, just like facial structure and stuff. Like, it's just like kind of like Rosario, you know, just kind of a fit there with the animated series, like the faces they've given us in the animated series. Like, it's believable to us, I guess, having been introduced to these characters animated first.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, because she's the cheekbones and that sort of thing are very similar. You know who she looks like, kind of? She kind of looks like Ann Perkins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Ann Perkins.
Yeah. So
have you watched her on her new series, by the way? Sorry to detract a little bit. Have you watched her on that new series on Netflix?
I have not.
So hilarious. I recommend everybody. It's Black AF. It's a great series. You'll plow through all 7 episodes.
Miss Rashida.
Yeah.
She's a producer on it too, a writer and producer. It's very funny.
I have heard that it is quite good.
Yeah, she's just like top notch cool. Like, she's like cool dork vibe. And like, I think that a lot of us can resonate with
her
the cool dork vibe.
Thriller. Her dad produced Thriller.
Right.
How could she not be cool?
Oh, your dad's Quincy freaking Jones.
Yep.
You inherit the cool points, but right? You'll never quite be that cool.
Yeah, that would be a tough one to ever live up to.
Seriously.
Dude's a genius.
I think that's fair. Yeah, genius is a word that I would use to describe him.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that is some cool stuff. Now, here's the thing that surprises me a little bit. We go into season one of The Mandalorian. We know a little bit about it. We see who gets trotted out on stage. And that's what we know. And they sit on Baby Yoda. And I had no idea. I can tell you that I was completely shocked. Like, I bet, like, if I would have... Back to Parks and Rec again, whenever the episode where Leslie is trying to surprise, or Ben is trying to surprise Leslie and get her to make the stupid surprise face he makes.
And
then at the end, she gets the throne made for him. that's probably the look I had on my face. And you know what? That's fine. That's the correct look for seeing Baby Yoda for the first time.
Right.
Kept it complete secret. Now in this, so on the Sith list last week, we had Corey and Noah on. Corey Van Dyke and Noah Outlaw, for you people who don't know who I'm talking about. And they seem to have the inside track on some of this stuff, but they said, imagine what they're not telling you then if this is what they are telling you.
Right.
And so thinking in that line, like, I don't want to start down that rabbit trail because then I could really set myself up to be destroyed. But because, I mean, seriously, Bo-Katan, that's just that news alone is awesome after hearing Ahsoka and now, you know, Captain Rex and possibly Boba Fett.
Also, on Timothy Oliphant, somebody posted a picture of Thrawn next to him, and I was like, fuck. That fucking kind of works.
Huh.
Why, it kind of worked.
Well, I'll be.
Everybody keeps throwing live-action Thrawn, like, could potentially happen at different people, different actors, different locations in time. As someone who is very in love with and very intimidated by Grand Admiral Thrawn as a character and has loved him since the late 90s, reading the books as a little nugget alone in my room, not talking to anybody else about Star Wars. I'm not willing to admit that Grand Admiral Thrawn is going to come up in live action because I probably would just pass out and fall out of my chair right now.
And London. Thrawn is London's favorite character.
I knew that kid was good. He's just going to go to my alma mater now, and then we'll be BFFs. It'll be good.
Probably.
Good. M-I-Z, baby.
He is a well-written character, Thrawn is. And I think having him in live action would be cool. I'll tell you what, man. When you think about it, trying to bring this many animated characters to life at one time in live action, do you think that makes it harder for them? Like, man, you better nail it on every one of them. Or does it give them a little bit of sponge room, you know, because it's like, well, you're going to have too much going on at one time to really, and not that they're necessarily going to all pop up in one scene, but you know what I'm saying?
I feel you there. It's definitely a knife edge, but at the same time, part of me is like, you see the first season? They nailed it. Let them do whatever they want.
Yeah. And I feel like after this final season of Clone Wars, like I haven't seen the fandom this united, well, I guess since the end of The Mandalorian season one. I feel like with the street rep that Mando season one had, plus how much they nailed Clone Wars, right now they have the fans on their side. Like, I feel like if the Mando season one was okay, and if the Clone Wars finale was meh, I feel like people would be a lot harder on them. And be like, you better make this character that I've loved for so long be perfect. But I think that right now there's just this general feeling of trust. And I feel that way myself. I think that whatever they do, the casting that they do, they're going to nail it. Just watching the Mando documentary series, the behind the scenes documentary series, and listening to Jon Favreau being like, he's like, no, I don't audition people. I just know. And then he's cast Pedro Pascal as the Mandalorian. Carl Weathers. And like, just everybody that they've cast, it's perfect. I mean, except maybe Toro Calican, sorry, Steel. But,
hey, if you need somebody to play a douchebag, you hire a douchebag. So I'd say they knocked that one out of the park.
They nailed it.
It is true. Oh, man. And just Gina Carano. Why did I not say Gina Carano first?
I was waiting for Gina Carano. Like, I didn't put this in the notes, but we should probably talk about the documentary, too.
She's perfect. She's the perfect woman and the perfect everything. And I love her. I love everything about her. She's so cute and perfect for Cara Dune. And I just want to hug her and have her pick me up and drag me into the cantina. My cold, lifeless body. Please, Cara.
She would be able to just palm you, though, like a basketball. Oh, you're so teeny. You're so tiny. In a very nice way. You're cute.
And I would say,
you're cute,
please,
tiny.
And thank you, ma'am.
You're cute, tiny lot. Not, oh crap. I think Claire got stuck between the couch cushions last night. Has anybody seen her? She's not Thumbelina or anything.
I feel like Eric towards Taylor Swift. That's the way I feel towards Gina Carano. I'm in love with her.
Ooh, big words. Big words, Dallas
I'm
Wood.
In love
she is tremendous, man. She really is. I love Gina Carano. We were watching.
Strong woman. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's just talk about the most recent episode of
let's go right into
Disney
it.
Galleries.
Transition.
Is that the name of it? Disney Galleries?
Yeah.
Terrible name. But right. So the most recent episode of the Mandalorian documentary, my wife just happened to be in the room watching it while I was watching it with the kids, and she thinks Gina Carano rules. And she is a delight. My wife
Absolutely.
And Gina Carano both. But seeing like just her smile lights up the room, how happy she was to do it and how she spent the bulk of her time talking in that documentary, praising the work of others and very little about herself.
Yeah.
She's so humble and so she's this incredible combination of strength, like physically and clearly emotionally and just generosity, and she's stunningly beautiful from head to toe. She's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous and so modest and so strong. And listening to her talk about how being cast as Cara Dune helped her love things about herself that she couldn't quite accept, being that buff, strong fighter woman, she learned to love all sides of herself. Mm-hmm. I just like fell out of my chair and I'm like, you're perfect. Ah! I love her so much.
On this note, I want to point out, Pedro Pascal has 2 stunt doubles. Gina Carano has 0.
None.
Because she's a professional fighter before she was an actress.
Which is why I think Sasha Banks is going to kill it.
Very little touched on that. But she's an elite XC champion. And I think if she hadn't caught the acting bug, she probably would have gone on to fight in the UFC and the Ultimate Fighting Championship, for those who don't know. But she is legitimately an athlete first, and they definitely like let her use her athleticism and her strength, and you could see that they built off of that, which tells me that with the Sasha Banks news, as you said, that's gonna work out. I mean, and maybe it's Just watching this cast and how they highlighted Carl Weathers. I also like the part where they talk about how they did a screen test with aliens with masks and stuff on, and it just wasn't working. They're just like, and why are we going to cover Carl's beautiful face and his voice? And,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
That dude is 72 years old.
Yeah.
He's so handsome, man.
He looks like he's 52.
He does. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Also, his character has a great name, Greef Karga. How Star Wars is that? It's
that
awesome.
Is really good. So, yeah, that is, I think, the way this one went together. I will say this. I haven't been as intrigued by everything they're talking about in the last 2 episodes as I was the first episode of this docuseries. I mean, I still find it very interesting, but like what I keep wanting them to get down into is the dirty nitty gritty of the technology that goes behind it and actually getting the episodes made. But I do really appreciate the look into what the characters are up to. And it hit home for me big time with the aliens with the masks. Cause I'm going to tell you right now, man, I can't see crap out of my stormtrooper helmet. I run into kids all the time, and you can be marching around looking all badass in your stormtrooper armor, and then you get to a flight of stairs, the natural enemy of helmeted characters.
And shooting straight.
And well, you know how you ever do that thing where you're going down the stairs in the dark and you're not sure if you're on the last stair or not, so you're doing that weird like reach forward with your foot thing? That's what you do on every stair when you have a stormtrooper helmet on your head. And I know you remember, but in the very first episode of The Mandalorian, and I noticed this at Celebration when we saw it in the panel, when they show him like walking through the town on his way from talking to Greef Karga to go to the client. And there's a scene where he walks and he gets up to a flight of stairs and goes, like, gets the handrail and goes down. And I could tell right away, I'm like, that dude can't see anything out of that helmet. You could just tell by the way he walks, man.
I just remember at Celebration Orlando when you put on your armor and you're like, dude, you're going to have to walk in front of me. I can't see shit out of this thing.
Dude, I have knocked down, and trust me, there are dudes who troop 1,000 times more than me. It is so, a kid gets within, like, say, 6 feet of you and they're not tall. They're invisible. It's like they just turn invisible. And
a kid or Claire gets within 6 feet of you.
Well, there's a picture that I recently shared of Claire next to me whenever I'm in my stormtrooper armor. And you know what? I don't remember her being there. It was just a picture of me as far as I could tell.
His arm's like this.
Yeah, I saw the picture later and I'm like, there. What?
One of the many reasons I love Claire is she makes me feel tall. But anyway,
that's what I'm here for. I'm here to boost everybody's confidence. Got little man syndrome? Hello, I'm right here. Help you out.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the that Pedro Pascal, his take on just like what the other two people in armor, because he's had the armor on. But with what they do and how he wants to do their work justice with his voice work, that he's not making it about him. He's making it about them and about the character. And listening to him voice the thing, and they're recording it in a room, which I'm pretty sure it's not just a voice test. Those are final cuts that they're recording in there. And it's like, man, I thought they'd have him in a soundproof booth. And obviously it's a well-treated room and they've got this mic on a stand. But I think probably you've got the advantage of his voice is modulated after the fact. So it's a little more forgiving. But it was just so cool to watch him do it and watch Filoni's reaction to it. And interesting
it was
in
so
this,
Rian Johnson.
Oh yeah.
So giggling in the corner, looking at the Fall of Siren Rian Johnson vibes. It just, reminds me why I love both of them.
Yeah, I find that I love Dave Filoni more and more every week after this thing.
Same.
And I loved how he talked about being afraid. That I've never done live action before. I could draw this way faster than I could direct this
scene. I loved that. That was great. In animation, we just have him slide right into the booth.
Yeah.
So easy. No hiccups.
Yeah, and you don't think about that, but animation really does give you some power that you couldn't have otherwise. Because
it definitely shows how much involved Dave and both of them are. Favreau and Dave are just they're involved in, and you know, from the previous ones too, the other directors coming on each other's sets and stuff. It's definitely a joint effort, and it makes it exciting for the people that they've brought on for the next season. So
yeah,
absolutely,
for sure. Any minuses?
Robert Rodriguez.
Any minuses in this episode for either of you guys?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
My only minus is that I didn't get more footage of Pedro Pascal holding that pillow like it was Baby Yoda. The fact that we only got one clip of that, that's just a crime right there. Who edited this? Y'all need to get your pay docked or something.
Speaking of him, like when they said he had two, I was a little taken back when they said he had two stuntmen. I'm like, man, did he really do this part? But then they show him do the voice acting and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, he's literally running the moves and stuff while he's doing the voice, and he's putting his entire soul into that voice performance, not just the physical performance that he is. So the dude is killing it on two fronts.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
He did a great job, and it is cool that they have two different physical stunt actors doing his parts. Between like just the movement but then also like the fighting and that sort of thing. That's really cool. And because it never occurred to me and that's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to look at that and assume it's the same person all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is. It's because it's about a character, not about somebody playing the character.
And that's kind of the cool thing about like Mandos in general for me. Like I'm a big big Mando stan. I love the Clone Wars and I love Rebels. Every bit of Mandalorian lore we get is just wild. And I fangirl over it really hard. But that's the cool thing about this show. Like, this character is played by three different people. And each Mandalorian is a jiu-jitsu martial artist, crazy badass hand-to-hand combat person, a gunslinger, and just grade A cool. It's cool. I'm really excited for season two, guys, because especially if Bo-Katan's coming in and I get to find out how in the world did Moff Gideon get that darksaber and what happened with that Mandalorian purge. I was never a big Boba Fett person back in the day, but I am a big Mandalorian culture person now. And it's so exciting. And I love getting like the highlight on stunt doubles because I feel like they are really, in a lot of senses, the unsung heroes. And I respect anybody who can do their own stunts and who wants to do their own stunts. And I just respect anybody who does the stunts at all because it's just so impressive. And both of them, and giving them a microphone and letting them talk a little bit about it was fun because you could tell that they were not really entirely comfortable being in front of the camera. At least Mr. Yeah. Gunslinger guy. Sorry, I can't remember his name, but I just love hearing more about that and giving them the little platform on which to shine, because in the Mando season one, there was some crazy incredible action going on. So who knows, guys.
One other note from this episode. Every time Deborah Chow puts her two little cents in, I'm like, please put that Cassian series out because this gal knows what she's doing. And I want to see what she comes up with on her own. So I'm super excited. Every time she talks, I'm like, ooh, we got another show that's coming out. And she's running it. It's going to go well.
Our queen, Miss Deborah.
Yeah, she's really good at what she does. I think that getting her was an excellent get. And so she's doing the Obi-Wan series, not the Cassian series.
Obi-Wan, sorry, my bad. Obi-Wan.
It's going to be so good.
When does that start filming? Does anybody know? I mean, everything's been completely flipped upside down because of all of the,
I may be wrong, but I heard the beginning of next year. I may be wrong.
That being a thing. And I wonder if she's going to do, so she is doing something for season two of The Mandalorian, yeah. Do we know? Is she directing any episodes?
No idea.
Not sure. I don't think it's been announced either way.
But yeah, I would love for them to have that same range of diversity in the directors, just because, I mean, it's one of those things that like keeps it fresh and popping. Because when I was young, I always just assumed that when you have a long running TV show that all of them were directed by the same person. And then I got a little bit older and realized that the tone was so different among the episodes of shows like The X-Files, for example, stuff like that. And I think that's what makes it cool, because then all the episodes have a different feel to them. But anyhow, I hope that the next episode of this docuseries is about the technology. That's what I'm dying to see, is that they refer to it as the volume. And I love how they just casually say it like we know exactly what they're talking about. But this whole thing, the volume, the big sets of screens that put the background in there. One other thing I just got to say, this has driven me crazy about Star Wars for a long time now. And that is, I wish that they would stick with the pronunciation of a character name and make everybody say it the same way. Because we've had this Cara Dune, Cara Dune argument. And I'm like, listen, every time she was mentioned on The Mandalorian, it was Cara Dune. Cara Dune, you say? Cara Dune, Cara Dune, Cara Dune. But Gina Carano refers to the character as Cara Dune, and so does Bryce Dallas Howard, who directed the episode that she makes her debut in. But the only person to mention the name is Ben the Mandalorian. So when the voiceover's getting done later, they don't have everybody standing around going, "It's Cara." So you end up with that whole thing where people are saying the names differently, and so now her name's Cara Dune.
As someone whose niece is K-A-R-A, I feel like she would also like some consistency. Is it Cara? Is it Cara? Well, y'all just call her Cara because that's her name. Thank you very much. Substitute teacher ever.
Well, here's the other thing. Let's really nerd this thing up. Is the way language works, English, if you will, since that's the language the characters are speaking. For it to be Cara, there would have to be two R's. The single R makes it Cara. That's just like the difference between, well, just any word. Just think about it. You know, you have to have the double consonant after the vowel to make it the soft sound. So there you go.
Structure of the English language with Eric Struthers.
That's right.
Courtesy of the Bad Motivators.
I can't speak it very well, but boy, golly, I can sure point out what other people do wrong. That's sort of my forte. Okay, so we would be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that a Star Wars movie, recently celebrated a birthday. It's finally old enough to vote for itself in the polls of which Star Wars movie is the best, and that is Attack of the Clones. And I got to ask you, how has it been so many years since then? It seems like they grow up so fast.
This movie can vote and join the army.
It really can. And also, it is in the United States. It's not old enough to drink, but it's old enough to get underage drunk at a frat party. So
jail for some moments too.
It was old enough to do that 3 years ago.
It was old enough to do that the day it was conceived, because that movie is drunk as it is. I love it, but it's a lovable drunk, but it's a little bit drunk the whole way through.
Honestly, that's one of the things where I would be hard pressed to think, okay, what is the worst Skywalker Saga Star Wars movie? I would almost always go straight for Attack of the Clones, but it's fun to watch that movie. My kids love that movie.
It's funny you say that, because when my nephews were really little and they were, you know, living in Star Wars prequelville, because that's all they ever wanted to watch, it was always Attack of the Clones, almost always. It was like when they were really little, it was rolling on the ground laughing at Jar Jar Binks, watching episode one over and over. And then when they were like, you know, hitting their 6, 7, oh my God, all they wanted to watch was Attack of the Clones. That was many times.
So like my kids, it's the droid factory scene that everybody complains about, like the Super Mario Brothers scene. They love that. And then C-3PO's head being on the battle droid's body and vice versa. They think that is just, good show, good show.
Jedi scum.
It's to them, that is peak humor. And there are so many great moments in that movie that it's really weird that there's just enough weird moments that so many people rank this at the bottom, when you're losing out on just Across the Stars is from that movie.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, that is a beautiful composition. Padme with her ripped shirt, midriff bared, but still kicking ass and taking names is in that
watercolor lake dress. Padme, my favorite Padme outfit. Ooh.
Dominatrix Padme going, we shouldn't talk like this, but have you noticed how sweet my boobs look in this dress?
That kiss became a scar real quick in that dominatrix dress.
That movie's so bipolar, man. It so is. Like, there's like Jango Fett fight. You're like, fuck yes, this is awesome. Then there's Dexter at the cafe. What the fuck?
Dude.
Hey, don't you fight with Dexter. You leave Dexter Jetster alone.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't have any thoughts of it. I just know Claire loves him.
I love Obi-Wan. Him so much. I want to have a cup of Jawa juice at that establishment and have him make me whatever your classic Coruscant-y version of country fried steak and eggs is. I trust that man.
Oh, he cooks the eggs with one set of arms, and he cooks the country fried steak with the other set of arms.
Dude,
does it at the same time.
That scene when Ewan McGregor says, "Hey, Dex." There's just something so weird about the way he's holding
and
his
he's
face.
Like, hey, Dex.
Yeah, he's like, what
he's
am
like,
I doing?
I can't believe I'm about to talk to this tennis ball on a stick who's going to be a four-armed alien.
You know what nobody talks about? Obi-Wan's mullet and how perfect it is. It's perfectly Prince Valiantly coiffed. It's got the...
There's a lot it's of got, Aquanet going on there.
Yeah, he's like Johnny Cash performing in Vegas. Like that kind of mullet.
It is pretty sweet. I've had some pretty good good meme action from that movie with my buddy Luke Metz that you remember from Celebration. Mm. And where did it go? I'm looking for it right now. Damn it. Come on. I can't find it, but it was one about how Luke is asking Obi-Wan, so why did you hide me here on Tatooine of all places? And it goes back to where Anakin's telling him that he hates sand. He's like, oh, I went back and watched Attack of the Clones and caught this and realized this was the perfect place to hide you. Oh, that's good. That's
he's
good
stay
stuff.
The hell
so good.
Away from the
I think
sand.
I saw that. You guys posted that or something. It was funny.
Dude, there's been a couple that I've seen lately that aren't about Attack of the Clones that like caught me so off guard. I couldn't help but laugh. And one of them was Han Solo yelling at Ben. It's Ben, I'm your father. And shows Kylo Ren and says, I know, and comes back to Han. He's like, I was hoping you'd jump off this thing like Luke did when Vader told him. Anyhow. So yeah, Attack of the Clones. What? Give me your best and worst moment out of the movie.
I got to tell about my wife's worst moment is like that scene where Anakin's in the room where, you know, Luke played with this T-16 little model toy. And he's like, oh, I just killed a bunch of kids and women. And she just doesn't say shit. And my wife's like, she'd be so pissed. Why does she say nothing? It just drives her nuts. And I'm like, God, I can't even watch this movie with you in the same room when the scene comes on.
Pro tip to all the single gentlemen out there. Nothing is sexier to a single woman than genocide. Especially
right?
When you talk about murdering children. We're all about that. That's what really gets our engines going.
Oh,
so,
make sure you say you
notes.
Hate them so it's justified.
There you go. That's exactly what you got to do. Got to have anyway. A good argument as to why. But, you know, it's fine. Ladies like that.
Yeah. Well, if you really want to look at it and try to come up with a reason... It's because she's afraid that he's going to turn psycho and kill her, too. That's why
in
she's
the back
just
of
like,
her mind. Yeah.
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 And then once you kiss him in the arena, you know, there's no going back after that. You're full on Stockholm syndrome at that point.
Yep, right. That's right.
The other scene I like, I mean, there's two things about that movie that's really great. Jango Fett scenes. But, like, we get to see Yoda fight with a lightsaber. I'll never forget watching that in the theater going, holy shit, he does have a lightsaber. And just
Wars?
Losing my absolute shit.
Wars not make one great, but that scene sure did.
Yeah, it is pretty, pretty rad, I gotta say. So, yeah, Attack of the Clones, man. So when does Revenge of the Sith turn 18? Anyone have that at the tip of their fingers?
Well,
2023. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that would be 20 years old. Wait.
2023 is 20, so yeah, 2021. So next year. No, that's not right. It'd be 2022.
I don't know how to math. It came out in 2005.
Yeah.
The maths.
Yeah, so... So, yeah, 2023.
There you go.
So there we go. There we have it.
I have a college degree, ladies and gentlemen.
23. I love that you said 23-something. 23. That's right, Claire. 323. Year 318 years from now, that movie will still be doing this podcast.
I can't wait for our suspended heads in our Futurama jars to be discussing that. Yes. In 2323.
You know, I was trying to tell somebody and I realized they didn't get my joke as much as I hope they would, but we were talking about how quickly we have reverted back to the two-digit year in the date. Not me. It's four digits or bust, okay? Because did we not learn anything from Y2K? That your year has to be four digits long so that you don't wreck your whole computer system. Because I told somebody, I said, what are you going to think when it happens again in 2999? What do you think's going to happen then? And they're like, well, I don't think I'll be alive. It's like, well, I will be. I'm telling you right now, I fully intend on being around for that. But yeah.
I eat right. I exercise. I only have Taco Bell a couple times a week. I'm going to make it, guys.
I tell you what. So Claire can see me right now. She knows that staying at home has not been kind to me, but she's being cool and pretending like she doesn't notice. But oh my gosh, man. Amanda made this huge batch of peanut butter cookies the other day, too. And it's like, let's just go ahead.
Oh, no.
Yep, totally worth it though. Totally. So, you know, guys, we tossed around the idea of doing like a rewatch of Star Wars Rebels since we had such a good time with Clone Wars. And we're not going to go back and do a rewatch of Clone Wars right now. It's just not the right time. But with the possible, allegedly guaranteed, but I don't know about that there's going to be a Rebels sequel of sorts in animation this calendar year still, I think now's a good time to watch some Rebels. Now, what do you guys think about that?
I think it's a great time.
It's the perfect time. I've watched a couple episodes, like random ones. So worth it. After that Clone Wars finale, it hits just right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to set this up in a second. But yeah, we are going to watch season 1, episode 1 of Star Wars Rebels on Disney+. Just the first half, we're going to do it just like it says, episode 1, episode 2, instead of being a single long episode. So give us a second. We're going to set this up.
Bad motivators.
Okay, guys, we are back. And in a surprise twist of events, Mr. Luke Cruiser is back to join us just for this Rebels rewatch commentary. So say hello, Luke.
Here I come to wreck the pod.
You got that right. He messaged me when we were about 15 minutes in saying, hey, I can get back on now. Would it wreck everything? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. Well, specifically because we made this whole production about how you weren't there. Because what I did is, well, you'll hear it later. Uh-huh. But it was good. Okay, so guys, here's what we're going to do. It's just like whenever we did the Clone Wars. We are watching season 1, episode 1, Spark of Rebellion, part 1 of 2. Man, could I say the number one any more times than that? Of Star Wars Rebels on Disney+. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to get it pulled up. I want you to hit play. And then once it's playing, I want you to back it up and wait until I say go. And then hit go. But say it on go, okay? And not on 1, and not on 2, and not on 3, but on go. So here we go. Is everybody ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Where's my damn Disney+ logo?
Nope. It wasn't made by Disney+, maybe?
I saw it up in the corner. Look at him.
The Jedi Knights are all but destroyed.
Yeah. I love that it starts with James Earl Jones. Complete
Inquisitor. In case you thought we would be messing around, now we're not. James Earl Jones, right off the bat.
Dude, those red lenses in his helmet are so cool.
Lord Vader. Ugh.
The pointy teeth.
Lucius Malfoy.
Also, handsome Jason Isaacs, Grand Inquisitor.
This is my
mother. It'll always be Lucius to me.
And so it will be done.
He's got Darth Maul eyes.
They seemed a little kinder than Maul eyes. They weren't as orange.
Look at that majestic Ezra blue hair blowing in the breeze.
Yeah, I really miss that later on when he got it buzzed off.
Nah, I'm okay with it. I think Ezra rocks the buzz cut. It's a good look on him. It's less Justin Bieber and more gonna mess your kids up.
I like seeing how Othal is now and then how you see it in the end. That's a pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love this establishing shot of the town.
I'm just trying to sell a couple Yogans here.
All trade must be registered with the Empire.
I do not like the character designs of these two Imperial officers. Imperials rule not the best. Like the rest of the
galaxy. He looks like a character from a Tim Burton movie. One of them. A citizen under a
charge of treason. Yeah. Copy that, LRC. I mean specifically these two dudes. They look half done. You
can't do this. Minister Tua, though. She's a cutie.
Yeah, she's cool, man. You?
Phil and Lil.
Hey, Mr. Asperger.
Love her hat.
Move along, Luffy. I love how we immediately go to Aladdin tropes.
Well, what with all the jars hanging around, too. Yeah. Just like in the marketplace. This is a code
red emergency. That Ezra Bridger, he's one jump ahead of the Imperials. Come.
You two, come he is a crafty lad.
Stay on alert. Repeat, this is a code red.
Also, anytime there's animated or non-animated Gotals, I'm just down. What are you
doing? I love how he's mad. Kids gotta eat. That he's taken a backpack full of his fruit when you could have had none, sir.
But he's one of the first. You say he said Gotals, what you call him? He's one of the first times I've seen him, and they're not kind of bad when they're talking.
I like that you imitated it while you did it. It really painted the picture for me. I liked it.
You know, almost feel. I'm a Van Gogh, if you will.
Yeah, here's something.
A Van don't.
A.
Oh.
I love that the little Obi-Wan.
That musical cue.
They don't waste much time just kind of like, oh, there's some forciness happening here.
Also, there's some really nice goatees and ponytails going on here.
Uh-huh. Is every episode going to be fucked, Zeb? Because you're eventually going to admit that he's pretty cool. I'm sorry, but he is.
Also, can we talk about how cute, like, Kanan and Zeb's twinning is? Mm. They're well-coordinated outfits.
Yeah. Yeah, they...
Awkward.
You will come to find out, if you've not seen this show, that Sabine Wren has no problem killing lots of people.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
When you guys first saw it, like if you can remember back when you first saw it, how did you feel about the animation?
I liked it okay. I'll tell you, the stuff I didn't like about it was less about like the actual overall style of animation and more about that I didn't like the stormtroopers, the shapes of their helmets and their guns annoyed me. But that's insignificant, you know what I mean? Because I thought the other characters looked cool. I like how they were human enough, but still cartoony. Mm-hmm. Well, because they're anonymous, faceless entities. I thought that was cool.
I thought Sabine just like straight up takes one barrel or one crate so the chase can continue, like for some sick pleasure she gets out of it.
Well, I think it's because she, you know, he earned it. He's the one who's really got this whole thing moving for him.
Game's respecting game, you know?
Yeah.
I like to think that, but I also think she's like, man, they're gonna melt this kid down.
And when she says, hey, when the big guy catches you, he'll end you, at first I thought she meant Kanan.
Yeah. Nope.
That ain't it.
Also, the immediate introduction of speeder bikes. Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I remember I was always one who was kind of skeptical on the Rebels animation on first watch through, but watching through it again, it looks pretty darn good, you know, for what it is. I will prefer the Clone Wars animation forever, and I don't mean the last season of Clone Wars, I just mean in general. Because the last season is next level master artistry that should be in a museum. But this looks really great, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it does look good. The color palette's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and like I've said before, and Eric and I and Dallas have talked about it, that some of the landscapes and overall cinematography is some of my favorite, like, in Star Wars. Like, there's just some moments where it's just like, man, that's a fucking painting, and it's beautiful. Like, some of the different time, like, you know, time of day shots of looking over at Lothal is really, really amazing.
Whatever it is, fair and square.
And you made it pretty far, but I've got plans for that crate, so today is not your day.
Day's not over.
I also like all of the TIE fighter play in this show. There's a lot of it.
Yeah. The voice acting in this show's great. All the characters, personally, I thought the voices were spot on for them. And, but I do love the sounds. I love hearing the TIE fighter engines.
And the cool thing about, like, having Disney own Star Wars at this point, and you know, not having Fox tied in with the awkward copyright mix, is there's a lot of really direct allusions to the original movies in the music, which I think is something that maybe they couldn't touch on quite as much in Clone Wars. But this is pure, like, Williams nostalgia symphony score nonsense going on, and it makes me happy.
I love the sound of that gun.
It's pretty.
But yeah, I agree with you, Claire. It is nice. They're able to play more in that realm. But have you ever wondered what Lucas would have done in the streaming era if he still owned Star Wars? Do you think he would have made his own, or do you think he would have just sold the rights to stuff to somebody else to, you know, carry the burden of it?
That's an interesting question. It's like, how jaded was he with fandom after the prequels? Would he have felt the motivation to go through that direct level of scrutiny potentially again? Because we know he wanted his microworld midichlorians nonsense sequel trilogy, so... Which, to be honest, I would love to watch that animated miniseries. Like, one season of that. Like, whatever is in Jordan's brain. Filoni
said he was ahead of the game. Like he predicted the streaming was going to be a thing, like, years ago.
Uncle George knows what's up.
And,
Hera, how about a little less attitude and a little more altitude?
Hera, man. Such a strong character that... I love her progression, but I also love that she always remains the calm center of the group.
He did.
It's just, she's the glue, man.
Look, I was just doing the same thing you.
She's my favorite Ghost crew member. No idea what we. I love Mom.
You don't know us.
Mom's gonna take care of all of us.
I just went off this burner.
I'm always gonna fall. I'm always gonna be Chopper. Be my boy. Always.
Oh, but they're two sides of the same coin. She made him happen. Spill
it. Aren't you a little busy at the moment?
Spill.
Yeah, that's a tough call to say who's my favorite. I do like Hera quite a bit, but I really like Kanan just because of Jedi have always been my thing, especially one who was like so off track for a while, boozing it up. It just, I find a lot of personal parallels in there. Hooking up with chicks who are green. That's pretty much kind of my thing for a while. But, the seeing the ghost for the first time, I really loved the design of the ship.
Gritty baby.
Because I was there to save him. He's a street rat.
Yeah, it was. It gave you just enough. I guess like maybe like Falcon vibes in the cockpit without going over the top. Just like slightly familiar. But I love that the inside definitely feels like it, you know, you definitely know that this is where they live. And that's cool. Where is he?
One thing that always gets me about, so I used to work in HVAC.
Oh, he's in the ship already.
Is that in air ducts? Dude, there's no smooth surfaces that you crawl through. It's screws and everything else sticking up through there.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, but unrealistic. Yeah.
I'm in space.
So yeah, this is the first time going to space, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Shields are holding for now, but you need to buy me time to calculate the jump to light speed.
Buying time now!
Poor Pumpkin.
He loves her.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you were Ezra, and she came walking by, I mean.
My name's Zeb. You love rat.
Calculations complete, but we need an opening. Found one.
What? Kind of try to decide what hairstyle of Sabine's my favorite, you know. We'll get there eventually, but I kind of like the purple and orange quite a bit.
I love how much it changes, to be honest with you. And every time I see her, I'm like, "Ooh, you look pretty." And then the next one, "Ooh, you look so pretty." Every single time, they just, you know, I don't know which one's my favorite either. I just love them all differently, and I can't wait to see what she would try out next. Were I given the glimpse into it? Ooh, Callus. Callus.
All right, okay. All right. Fan yourself and calm down.
Minus those big chops, man. I would think shaving that would be hard, especially those little notches.
Next time they oh, yeah,
the
dude.
Notches.
I mean, because think about how easy it'd be to mess up, right?
Yeah, he'd have to build like a template and hold it up to his face.
Well, I mean, they do have. We do know that they have droids that do stuff like that. So maybe that's what he does.
Right now,
he gets it lasered off perfectly every day.
Maybe.
Also, I feel like militaries have a very strict grooming protocol when it comes to, you know, most, I guess, in-world, real-world military groups. What? Who allows the mutton chops?
That's an interesting thought. I don't ever really remember anybody in the military having
mutton chops
or facial hair.
It's a mustache at most. You're allowed, provided it doesn't cover your top lip at all. That's it. Provided you've passed basic training and that sort of nonsense. As far as I'm aware, you can have a mustache. It's just
all my whole life.
Oh no!
Why?
This is Tarkin Town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just said it. Yeah.
These folks
off their farms when the Empire wanted their land.
Anybody try to fight back?
I'll have to remember that if I do ever end up in a shanty town like that, that it's my responsibility to stand outside looking super sad when any people walk through.
Yeah.
Your intel was also, I got a shout out to the random background character who has the original concept, the Star Wars, what is it, the Obi-Wan Kenobi look with the band and by his ears. There's a lot of big time throwbacks here.
Hey, Claire, what are those droids called?
Oh, Lord. Thank God Dallas isn't here because he would be ashamed of me. But I... God, it's the ones that that Dengar has mixed himself with to become Rothgar Dang. I just can't remember
what... Is that really true?
Yeah, he's like some weird kind of android cutie nonsense now. With his head in a jar.
Why couldn't he just die? I hate this.
I know. You know what? He traded his turban for an a robot body, so...
And a strange face? How did his face change like that?
You know what? If you lived your life in a fishbowl, you know how you get pruny? Maybe that's just kind of what happened. His whole body got pruny.
Now, this kind of stuff right here is like a good life lesson moment, you know, where Ezra's deciding if he's going to keep being all about himself or be a part of a team to trust people again, you know?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, that cue is so good.
Yeah, it always works, right? It's great because everything else is always quiet when it's happening. What is that like? Is that like violins?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're about to go into good throwback. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff's about to get real. Chill with our buddy, Obes Kenobes.
The character designs of Obi-Wan, and then later on we see Anakin again, kind of threw me off a little bit at first. But I think it was necessarily because it made you accept that it wasn't going to be just like the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I remember the first time I saw this.
Something, you fool.
I wasn't too keen on how narrow the blade is.
Yes,
but it really... Look,
I know you're not going to believe me, but...
It is like it is in the movie, in the movies, but it's... The corona is less pronounced.
Lightsaber? Wait, isn't that the weapon of the Jedi?
Give it to me and get out.
Yeah, maybe don't toss up the thing you stole right next to them.
Not too good at following directions, are you?
Not so much. You?
No. Look at him trying to be all... He's trying to be all dangerous for... Look at me.
We're not exactly...
I'm cool.
We're a crew.
Check out the backpack, girl. Some ways
Notice how I got the...
Just dig a backpack, man.
I got the buckles perfectly the same on both sides.
No,
that's
easy
really
task.
A lost art, isn't Kanan it? Kanan wants us in the common
room. But one of my favorite things about Sabine is she's just always carrying a spray gun. She's like marking everywhere she goes.
Sabine. My name's Sabine.
Well, with her on the crew, they won't have to hire Banksy.
Right, exactly.
Hey. It's a lot cheaper.
Watch where you're going, you son of a bitch.
We have a new mission.
I remember Eric saying, like, when we first started doing this show, he was like, Chopper is the Kenny of Star Wars.
Don't you dare kill Chopper off.
But just because...
Yeah, that's right, Kenny.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Chopper! Chopper! If drinking scotch was a full-time job, your dad would be a millionaire.
I ordered Chopper to keep...
Oh, and Chopper, I said, your family's poor, Chopper.
Can we please...
No, we can't.
That's the joke that keeps on giving. It comes up about every, 30 or 40 episodes. It's so good.
Oh, God.
You know, this whole mission thing is nuts. I'm not against sticking it to the Empire, but there's no way I'd stick my neck out this far. Who does that?
We do.
We do, you dumb kid. Come on, get in a fight. Let's risk our lives together.
Yeah. You think there's ever a time, you know, years go by and Ezra's on the team where he's like, you know, guys, I was thinking back to her. If I hadn't hooked up with you guys when I did, I can pretty safely say I would not have killed nearly as many people as I have.
fine. We already got
wounded main, sure. Killed now.
If you don't want the oversized Monong, I'll jettison here. Let you explain.
I wouldn't be flirting with the dark side. I wouldn't be just destroying whole shifts of people.
But to be fair, he wouldn't have been friend zoned by a hot Mandalorian, so let's just come in.
Well, there is that. I mean, she friend zoned him quick. She didn't even give him a whiff of a chance. She's like, nope, fuck off.
To be fair, though,
haven't you ever seen a rare
look at Ezra
before?
It's true.
Would you?
I've never quite been sure what are their ages, their age differences.
I'm not sure about that.
Like, is she supposed to be around like 17 or 18 here, probably?
I was thinking that she'd be like 20. Okay, you know the plan. And that he was more like 15.
Yeah. Oh well, yeah. That's kid brother action right there. Big kid brother energy.
Because you know she's been in the Imperial Academy.
That's true.
And all that.
Yeah. That's
or maybe he'd be 16. But even still.
It's beginning to look that way.
Man, I remember when I was 16, though, I did make out with a chick who was like 22. That was pretty neat.
It was a different time.
To board. She will be hearing from your lawyers, probably.
Yeah.
Well, she was the one that was making out with a minor.
Exactly.
Why don't you do it? I need to be ready to take off or none of us stands a chance.
No. No way. Why would I risk...
Hey, hot callus in your bowling ball helmet.
And risk his for you.
I like that helmet.
I do, too.
Your life is worth nothing.
Makes him look like a gladiator.
They need you right now.
Handsome devil.
Settle.
Never, Luke. Never.
That's a really cool shot with the ties hanging off the bottom of that thing.
To be continued.
Ezra's piercing blue eyes. Oh my gosh, he's so handsome. Well, there it is, man. There it is, the first episode of Star Wars Rebels. And so every week from now until what will be eternity, we'll do one more. I'm just kidding, man. This show rules. And I know we've talked about this a lot, but we were pretty tough on this show, me especially. And
I remember firsthand listening.
You know, it's one of those things where when you can watch them all together, the show really shines. And I think that's... My biggest problems with the show were always that they had so much writing on it. You know what I mean? It's like you've got these huge gaps between episodes. It's you're hyping it up in this whole big way and then nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just, but
it was kind of like the only game in town for a little bit, right? Because it started before everything else. Like, I mean, wasn't the first book that came out, wasn't it the New Dawn novel, or was it the Luke Skywalker novel that everybody hates? I can't remember.
Oh,
in the new canon.
It was
the Luke Skywalker one out of my memory.
Yeah.
I own that. I would like to pretend I didn't.
Heir to the Jedi. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That book
that
sucks.
That was a mess.
As soon as you see the
A New Dawn's really good, though.
Noodle
yes,
scooter.
A New Dawn is great.
Yeah.
When she calls
it. No, I feel the same way. And like... And, you know, Eric, I think you and I both, and by the way, we lost Dallas. His power went out in his building.
Yes.
FYI. We just can't keep four of us in here very long, it seems.
we take the whole Salt Lake City block out.
Salt Lake City canceled. No, thank you, sir.
Well, here I was thinking, too. I didn't realize anything had happened. It had occurred to me. I'm like, man. Dallas always says that Cruiser never lets him get a word in edgewise. I guess he was serious. And then suddenly I realize that Dallas isn't here anymore when Claire says, well, Dallas isn't here. And I'm like, huh?
Well, not to mention it had been 5 minutes into the episode. You didn't hear not one dick joke. So, I mean, you knew something was astray.
That is very
true. You know,
true.
The begrudging Zeb comments ended very early.
I know.
That too as well. So.
Well, to be fair, he was kind of light in this first episode, so. But
yes.
Eric, I agree, and we talked about it before though. It really helped watching all together, but also watching it with my kids. That really made me like it even more because they adore this show. And they like, I think they like it more than Clone Wars. They go between, but they call them respectively. They call the Clone Wars, they call it the Anakin one, and they call Rebels the Ezra one. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair.
Yeah. But yeah, it's such a good show. And I by the end of it, you're just so sucked up in the story that it's just, you actually feel sad and happy and glad and bad all at the same time for these characters. It's such a really, it ended very well.
It did. And you feel like you're part of a family. Like you are a part of the Rebels crew family vibe, you know, mm-hmm. by the end of season two, maybe yeah. beginning of season three, you're like, I am one of you. and you know, I just shout out to Filoni for creating great characters that we all become very attached to and putting them in situations that, make us love them and relate to them even when we're mad at them, you know? So that's kind of the cool thing about Rebels. And I'm excited to rewatch this whole series post Clone Wars finale and whatever rumored series are to come. you know, it's just, yeah, this is going to be a nice trip down memory lane because even though it's not Clone Wars for me, Clone Wars will always be my number one, but this is
always be is my so baby. Good.
It will always be my baby. I will fight off everybody and everything else as long as I get to watch Ahsoka, Anakin, Obi-Wan, Yoda. Messed stuff up.
Well, Claire, I'm glad you were here for our first episode of this rewatch. It's always a good time having you on, but you're just an exceptional person and we thank the world of you.
I mean, I'm really good at faking it and lying, so thanks for feeding into the ruse, man. I'm gonna take this exterior off once we hang up the call and then my true troll will come out. So thank you for being fooled.
I just don't believe it.
You go out and go on a rampage.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know, everybody has their dark side, I suppose.
You're right.
But, you know, every now and then I'm not always the nicest person. And I know that seems hard for people to imagine, but it's true. But I'm still better than Luke or Dallas. That's all that matters.
You act like that's a hard thing to accomplish.
Low bar, buddy. Low bar.
Oh, my gosh. Claire, one time. So I've been married.
It's like dunk on a 5-foot goal.
I've been married twice before, you know, and it's a whole thing. But anyway, I was with my dad and we're driving around and he was telling me how much he really loves my wife, Amanda. And I said, you know, Dad. And I was being straight faced as can be. I said, of all the wives I've had, she is definitely the best one. And I mean, he didn't even crack a smile. He glances over at me and he goes, bar was pretty damn low.
You know what? You live and you learn and you thank your lucky stars for getting it right eventually. You know?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And glad to laugh at the rest, you know.
Yeah.
Laugh at yourself.
Well, Claire, thanks again for coming on. It has been a blast as always. And we already talked about your podcast up at the front, but tell us again, where can people find you? Where can people check out your goings on?
Well, you can check out the goings on Twitter and Instagram at CStribs. C Stribs with a B. I want to make sure that's clear. And then also on Imperial Senate Podcast. You can find us on everywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, all of the podcatcher appery. And on Twitter at ImpSenatePod and in our Discord. And if you want to join and play Cards Against Humanity or Quiplash or any of the other weird games we play on the weekends, yeah, just hit me up. I'll get you a link and it'll be fun.
Oh, well, you're the best again. So I'll tell you what, peoples, listen up. buy our merch. Check it out. It's in the show description. TeePublic, Redbubble. I'm allegedly getting some stuff in from Redbubble, finally. Which actually beat my TeePublic stuff by a mile. I don't know what's going on. What's up with this world? But check it out. It's in the show description. Check out our Patreon, where for as little as all your money, you can have all our shows. But to find out more about that exciting opportunity, check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. And in all seriousness, there's some pretty cool stuff going on there. So get on it. In the meanwhile, I guess you can follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Strothers and Luke.
At Luke Cruiser.
And Dallas.
At Tarkin Tangents.
Well, sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators!